Keep on trusting, keep on praising, because even though we're in a spiritual warfare, yeah, we need to know that we still have the victory, meaning we still have the victory in spite of our circumstance. And that's why we should just keep on trusting the Lord, even when life doesn't make sense. And so the main lesson we should get from Job's life is the recipe for success in this invisible war that's waged against us. Because all we got to do is keep looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy endured the cross and despised the shame. Now he sit down on the right hand of the throne of God. And as he sits there, he's making intercessions for us. And so even though God may seem far away when trouble arises, as believers in Christ, we got to keep on trusting in the Lord. For the Bible says we ought to acknowledge him in all our ways and lean not to our own understanding, and he will direct our path. Ain't God all right? Because he promised never to leave us nor forsake us. So come what may, we got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Because as the songwriter say, he say, I'm so glad that trouble don't last always. That's why, like Job, when trouble comes, instead of complaining, we ought to start praising the Lord for his mercy and his grace. Because our trials only come to make us strong. I don't know about you, but I love the Lord. He heard my cry, pitied every groan, and long as I live, while trouble rise, I'm gonna haze unto his throne. Because can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Because he's a very present help in the time of trouble. And he promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Ain't God all right? Is there anybody here who knows this morning that the Lord is able? Won't he make a way out of no way? Won't he lift you up when you fall down? But most of all, won't he save your soul from a burning hell? Ain't God all right? Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him for yourself? Yes, my Lord. I know the Lord. He's able to keep us. He's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before his presence up in glory. Ain't God all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say yes. Say yes. Yes, he's all right. There is an invisible warfare going on all around you. Sometimes you wonder, Lord, I'm giving my best, but look like everything is going against me. It's not your brother, it's not your sister, but it's the spiritual warfare that's going on around you. Satan wants you to give up. He wants you to walk away from the Lord. And guess what? He's winning a little bit. Because a whole bunch of people, the day the church ought to be packed. Folk in the park, gone this place, gone that place. We make church and make God's worship secondary. Ah, Lord. Lord, I've never seen when you partake of the Lord's Supper that folks stay home. This ought to be the day that you really want to come. This is a day where you remember what God did for you out on Calvary. How he hung, bled, and died for your sin, was buried, rose up from the grave, and to give you hope, he's coming back again. And he's not just coming back to come back, but he's coming back to get everyone that belongs to him. Let me hush. I'm trying to hush. I got to hush. I'm trying to hush.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting. All day.
All right.
It's gonna be all right.
Really gonna be all right.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
Joy. Showing up in church. I gotta confess to you, God don't make this kind of preachers no more. But Lord know you still need few of us. I came to see if you all would come to church. Ain't no shame, my dear. Because some people, because you do a concert today, they'll stay at home. I want to know whether your heart is in ministry or in entertainment. And I just want to commend you. When I see the choir full, you know I will tell you. Yes, I sure will. I am free from the worries of what anybody say about me. Thank you for, that's what the Bible calls faithfulness. And if you are faithful over little, it makes you rule over much. I just gave you my secret to success. That's how I got here. Amen. Wash dishes, mop the floor, and carry briefcase for pastors. First to get there, last to leave. And work and work and work. That's why I tell people, if you envy me, you're a witch. You don't know my story. Serving the Lord pays. I see some of these preachers, they'll come 3 services. It is a hard thing to listen to the same sermon 3 times. But serving the Lord pays. Don't be jealous of them when you see God blessing them. They paid for you. You want a Christian husband, but you're not Christian. Let me get back in the spirit. What is the book again? All right. Luke chapter 5. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I heard him say, that's my boy. Luke chapter 5, verse 12 through verse 15. And it came to pass, please follow the story. When he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seen Jesus, fell on his face. And he besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can cast, make me clean. And he put forth his hands and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man about it. See, pay attention, church. You just said, I'm going to go tell it. But Jesus told the man, don't tell nobody. Ooh, glory. There's a reason why Jesus did that, by the way. Ladies and gentlemen, what happened? Verse 14, he charged him to tell no man. But instead he said, go and show yourself to the priest, the preacher, and offer for thy cleansing according to the law of Moses for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. You know why? Because the man did the exact opposite. He went and tell somebody. And great multitude came together to hear and to be healed by Jesus Christ of all their infirmities. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word. Thank you for your presence in the house. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Help my understanding. Help me to explain your word to your people. Help our hearing. Fill our heart with divine revelation. And Lord, we look for answers and solutions today. We just don't come just to have a good time. That's not what this church is about. Bread of heaven, feed us. Glorify yourself in the house. We shall be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Please, in Jesus' name we pray. And the church say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk with you for a few minutes on the subject titled, I Can't Keep It to Myself. What is this topic again? I can't keep it to myself. Please permit me to mention theologically the passage I just read to you is a very short, brief story in the Bible. It's actually not a make-believe. It actually happened. But it was an add-on to a major story. So when you get a chance, read the old chapter. But this add-on is so profound that the Holy Spirit wants me to talk about it. This is about how Jesus healed a man. And after he finished healing him, he told him, don't tell anybody about it. Just hush. Go home, enjoy your blessing privately. Ladies and gentlemen, when I was young, I remember every church we attend has testimonial service. You are always given opportunity to tell, not to be quiet, but to tell of the goodness of the Lord. Every Sunday, midweek service, prayer meeting, special events, revival meeting, every meeting, somebody is up sharing with the whole congregation what the Lord has done for them. One of the things that troubles my soul is that now most churches have stopped giving testimony. Too many churches are literally quiet about the goodness of God in their life. Now you see why I'm provoked in the spirit to talk with you this morning about the importance of telling of the goodness of God in your life. Jesus was not trying to hide anything. Jesus was just trying to make sure the telling was at the right time. The truth be told, every one of us here has something to tell about God. Everybody here has a testimony. When you look back over your life, when you look back over your health, when you look at your home, your job, your family, your children, even the very clothes you're wearing this morning is a testimony. Do I have a witness in the house? All of us, we have a testimony. If you believe that, touch somebody and say, I got a testimony.
I've got a testimony.
Now, don't lie now. Don't lie now. Just tell the truth. Tell your neighbor again, I got a testimony. Amen. Please permit me to mention that in the Word of God, the Bible is full of testimonies. Am I telling the truth? Testimonies after testimony. A blind man being healed. A lame man being healed. A sick man being healed. A dead man. I mean, the book is just all kinds of testimonies. So if you are here today and the Lord has been good to you, if you don't hear anything else I have to say to you during this season of Christmas, it's for you to learn to go tell it. God has been good to you. Somebody is waiting to hear your testimony. Open your mouth, shout amen. When God does something for you, you ought to testify. Ladies and gentlemen, nothing can take the place of your testimony. Did you hear what I said? Absolutely nothing can take the place of your testimony. You know one thing that, and it's the little things that bothers me. Have you been watching TV lately? If you notice, the world has got the message I'm trying to preach to you. Just about every television ad now, you will see they don't talk too much about the product no more. they will put somebody up, what we call a satisfied customer. Some of you lawyers, you're in the house, you're listening to me. The best way to market your law firm is to put a former client on the TV to say, yes, he represented me. Doctors understood what I'm saying. It bothers me. I'll be taking my time to teach simple principle. The Bible is full of principle. I call it keys of the kingdom. And you got to have the key, and you got to know how to use that key. You cannot be receiving from God and don't tell nobody. Even dealership, they don't always put the automobile on the TV. They have enough sense to put some satisfied customer who will say, yeah, I've been to this dealership. I like my car. It rides so good. If the world have enough sense to testify and make money off of testimony, why? That church folks, you come in here week after week and join the blessing of the Lord, but you didn't tell nobody about it. That ain't right. I believe God wants us to say something. Tell somebody, say something. If God has been good to you, say something. If God has made a way, you ought to say something. If he's been a shelter in time of storm, you ought to say something. If he's been a rock in your weary land, you ought to say something. Has he ever healed your body? Do I have a testimony in the house? Then you ought to say something. God deliver me from a close-mouthed Christian. Even if you don't know how to talk, then you ought to do something. Amen. Every night, God is my witness. I enjoy just being blessed. Every now and then I go to places and I don't know the protocol of the house. Everybody looking dignified, so sophisticated. And when the Spirit of God fall upon me, I just, oh, glory, oh, glory, oh, glory. They say, here come the African again. But nobody know like I know what the Lord has done for me. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Too many people are quiet in the kingdom of God. The church is becoming too dignified. Get off your high horse. I'm trying to prepare you for additional blessings. Humble yourself so that God can exalt you. The book of Psalms 107 verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord do what? You keep on reading, the Bible say, whom he hath redeemed from something. Question, has he redeemed you throughout the whole year from the hand of the enemy? Has he been good to you this year alone? I'm not even talking about last year. Was he good to you this year? Was he good to you this month? Was he good to you this past week? Is he good to you today? Somebody shout hallelujah. Ooh, glory. We don't serve a bad God. God is good. Ladies and gentlemen, if God has done something for you, then you ought to tell somebody. Please permit me to call your attention. I'm not going to be long because, you know, can say. Praise God. I hear the Holy Spirit. Every now I'm preaching to you, Ben, the Holy Spirit will be giving me a download. Sometimes I want to say something, now don't do that. Ladies and gentlemen, in the passage I just read to you, the Bible said there was a certain city. I can stop there and preach all day. Am I still in the book? You know what got my attention? Typically, when God is saying something in the Bible, they would name the city. They would name the place. The Bible is full of examples. For example, it was in Jerusalem that the Jews had feast. They named the city. It was in Bethlehem where Jesus was born. They named the city. It was in Jericho where the walls came down. They named the city. It was at Bethany where Lazarus was raised from dead. They named the city. Ladies and gentlemen, it was in Nazareth where Jesus grew up. They named the city. Has it bothered you? Do you ever wonder why is it that in this story, this city was not mentioned? Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, in a certain city. And I thank God for that, because this morning, I believe that city could well be Alexandria, Louisiana. That city could well be Colfax, Louisiana. Hello, Colfax, I love you. I'm coming home to see you. That city could well be La Camp. It could well be Pineville, Louisiana. That's what I love about the Bible. My assignment is to break it down. Ladies and gentlemen, I kept on reading because the amazing thing about the word of God, then the Bible say, in that certain city, there was a certain man. I said, huh? Now this got my attention. As a theologian, you got to pay attention. You can't read and just be running all over the map. You got to pay attention to detail. I said, here we go again. A nameless person. Every time God does miracle, for the most time, he will mention the person. But this time, we're not talking about Peter. This time, we're not talking about Zacchaeus. This time, we're not talking about Mary or Martha. This time, we're not talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Bible says, a certain man. You know what I got out of it? It could be you. Touch somebody and tell that somebody and say, this is the city. Point to your own self and say, this is the city. I am the city. And tell him, I'm the man. Or I'm the woman. Whatever it is. I believe God has a message for you. I believe God has something good for you and me this morning. Please permit me to point out a few more things, and I'll get out of your way. The Bible said this man was full of leprosy. Take note of that phrase, full of. When I look into the body of Christ, ladies and gentlemen, some people are full of Holy Ghost. Some people are full of mess. Question, what are you full of? Hey, don't turn me up. You'll be amazed how many people in the house of God are full of mess. You'll be amazed how many people in the house of God are full of hate. Some people are just player haters. Oh, I wish I have time just to break the Bible down. I'm just taking my time today. See, I got to sing this evening, so I'm trying to just chill. Thank you, choir, for allowing me to sing with you. Folks are just messy in the house of God. As long as you are broke like them, and you ain't got no money, oh, they're happy for you. But you wait until God bless you with some money. Then they start all kinds of stories. I wonder if he's been selling drugs. I saw her sister girl, I saw her, a truck pulled close to her. Player haters. As long as you are single with no man around you, they are happy for you. But you wait until you show up in church with a man holding your hand. Oh, now. I wonder how long they've been shacking up. I done preached myself happy already. They'll come up with some story to pull down the blessing. And you have to know how to enjoy your blessing. Are you listening to me? When you know God give that man to you, when you know that God bless you with that house, don't let nobody talk you out of your miracle. They might tell you, ain't nothing to Brother Baba. He's a big belly fat. Well, tell them that's my big belly fat Boaz. I done breathed myself happy already. Protect your miracle. I had to teach my wife about that. You know, when I was nobody, she was there, you know. I wasn't always as popular. There were times that I leave on government. Ain't no shame in my game. There were times I was homeless. Nobody came to me and said, oh, I want to be your woman. I like to marry you. But now the Negro got some. Hey. Oh, I'm going to preach this gospel. You know I'm free. You know what I teach Lady Elizabeth? I say, you look them in the face and say, I am the pastor's wife. You may be more pretty, but God didn't call you, he called me. I am the pastor's wife. You may speak English better than I do, but God didn't call you to be his wife. I'm preaching today. Oh, glory. Protect your miracle. Enjoy the blessing of God. Ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about being full of, notice this man was having leprosy. They say he was full of leprosy. That's another way to say his leprosy was full grown. See, I don't always have enough time to explain the word of God. But you know, when there's a sickness or disease, now, it comes in stages. First, the doctor would diagnose, and they would say, for example, cancer. they will say, this is the first stage, this is the second stage. And if they can catch it at the early stage, the doctor say, we can help you. The problem is when we didn't catch it, or you didn't show up until you are full of cancer. Trying to help somebody. Have you ever heard about HIV? See, as bad as that was, the doctors can help you, but if it becomes full-blown AIDS, they will find a nice way of telling you you need to start writing your obituary. Why am I telling you this thing? My job is to make sure you don't miss important revelation. One thing I love about God is that, unlike the doctor, the only one who helped you at the initial stage, God can heal your body, whether you are at the initial stage, whether you are at the middle stage, or whether you are in the final stage. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
I don't care what stage you are in. God can heal you of your sickness. God can heal you of your infirmity. God can heal you at the final stage. When the doctor walk away, when the doctor shake his head, when the doctor say we've done all we can do, I start by to tell you Jesus have the final say. If you receive that, shout amen. I say Jesus have the final say. I don't know what sickness, what disease, what infirmity is represented here today. And I may not know what stage or how long you've been going to the doctor. But I hear the Holy Spirit say, Jesus has the final say. That was for me. I shout amen.
Amen.
Please take note in this text, the man saw Jesus coming. This is how you get your miracle. The Bible says the first thing he did, he fell. I don't have enough time to dwell on that. That word fell before Jesus means he did what? He worshiped. Could it be the only thing holding up your miracle is your lack of worship? Some people come to church to watch other people worship. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's so much in the Bible. I just want to go out and sit down with you and get some chicken wings and some Diet Coke. And just break it down. I got to put diet there because, you know. Too many of us, we are too prideful. We come to the church. We want to watch the choir sing to us. We want to watch the preacher do something. And then you see that. And the devil is trying to mess with you all week. The least you can do is to come in the presence of God and the angels, when Jesus was born, they worshiped. The shepherd, when Jesus was born, they worshiped. The wise men, when Jesus was born, they worshiped. What are you going to do with Jesus? God wants to heal somebody this Christmas season. I believe with all my heart, the reason why God sent you this kind of pastor is to be blunt with you and keep it 100 all the time. Sometimes I look in the congregation, I see the hand of God upon your life, but you refuse to receive because you're full of yourself. Who is it that woke you up this morning? Well, you just don't know my position in the community. Really? You're dying, man. You're dying. You need help. You need help. Only heaven can breathe life into a valley of dead bones. Humble yourself. If you're here and you're like this man, the Bible says he's been to the doctor. That's what his testimony is. I've been to the doctor. I've been diagnosed. I've been kicked out of the society. I've been labeled leprous. Help me. That's what his worship is all about. Why are you carrying around that disease? Why are you carrying around that problem? Some of you, the problem with you is as simple as unforgiveness. Heaven cannot heal you as long as you're full of yourself. The devil will make sure somebody offends you. The Bible says offense will come. I ran for office not too long ago, and some people offended me. Are you listening to me? I keep things 100. That's why I get blessed, you know. But in order for me to stay blessed, I got to let go and let God. Are you all still here? You better be making note now. When I say I see you at the top, God will not bless an unforgiving man or woman. Some of you, you don't even talk to yourself in the church. And you come. You sit down in your corner, and she sit down in our corner, and you make sure the two don't mean, and you just want to come out here, Reverend, Doctor, Bishop, and just let Conte break it down. Well, you might be hearing all right, but you would not see the hand of God. The Bible says when you come to the altar, and you remember that you have something against somebody, go back. How y'all doing there? Y'all we here. Let go and let God. That man is not that important for you to miss your miracle. That woman is not that important for you to miss your blessing. Forget about that ex whatever. That's why we call him ex. And some people have double X. Forgive. Let go and let God. If you hear, you've tried everything and all has failed, I'm suggesting you, I want you to try Jesus. Please take note. Let me come this to a conclusion so we can go to the next church. Take note, the man wasn't arrogant. He wasn't dignified. He wasn't trying to be sophisticated. He humbled himself. He fell before Jesus. Some people cannot get healing because they refuse to humble themselves. They are too proud to fall. You say it's time for prayer. They are too sophisticated to come to the altar. In their mind, the sermon is for the rest of them, not for them. The devil loves you for that, so he can keep you under. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, God resist the proud. Make sure it's in your Bible. But he gives grace. See, healing is grace. Miracle is grace. Deliverance is grace. God receives a proud Negro. Try to bring it to your level. But he will give grace. One of the things the Lord told me, he said, young man, remember when you were nothing, when you were nobody, I made you something. That's the same word he gave to King Saul. When you were little in your own eye, born in a village in Africa, a village that's not even on the map, now you can pick the phone and call the White House. Who are you? You have to stay humble. You have to stay humble and wake up every day and say, Lord, I thank you. Look to the hills. From whence cometh your help? God resists. In that's a fancy word of saying God hates people who are proud. But God, the Bible says, he gives grace. Grace to the humble. So guess what you need to do? Guess what I need to do? Guess what we need to do? We need to humble ourselves. The Bible said the same thing in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. He said, if my people who are called by my name will do what? Will do what? God is looking for humility. Of what good is your prayer if it's not mixed with humility? I don't have time to get deep in it. Somebody was praying. One day, Jesus pointed out. He said, you look at that Pharisee. He's praying all right, but he's full of pride. God would not ask. If you find yourself praying all year round and you don't see results, let me tell you what's wrong with you. You're full of yourself. Yes, I said it. In fact, I say with an act. You're full of yourself. This man came to Jesus and said, Lord, I know you can heal me. That's what you've been singing all year. It's good to know. Some people are in the house of God. They didn't even know God can solve their problem. Rewind your tape. Don't move too fast that you miss simple revelation of God. Whatever you're dealing with right now, you got to know that God can bring you out. If you don't know God can heal you, why are you in church? If you don't know that God can make a way, why are you singing? If you don't know that it's a shelter in time of storm, but this house is full of testimony. Is there anybody here that you can look back over your life and see how he saved you, and see how he healed you, and see how he made a way, and see how he paid your bill, and see how he brought you out of trouble? Do I have a witness in the house? Thank you, Father. This man say, I know you did it for Shadrach. I know you did it for, I know you did it for Daniel. But will you do it for me? Somebody here, maybe you know that God is able. But the question this morning, you're asking the question, God, will you do it for me? Ladies and gentlemen, one thing, and I have to break it down later on. One thing that I love about this story was that notice that lepers are not supposed to be touched. That's the law of the land. You remember the 10 lepers, when they came to Jesus, Jesus didn't touch them. The Bible says they cried to Jesus from afar off. That's the law of the land. Then the Bible says, instead of Jesus touching them, Jesus said, go and don't come here now. Go and show yourself. And as they go, they got their healing. But you know, one thing that attracted me to this message is that when this man asked Jesus, I know you can, but will you help me? The Bible says Jesus reached out, broke the law, and touched him. I don't know about you. I was shackled by a heavy body. I was beneath a load of care. Then the master, he touched me. He touched me. I'm no longer the same. The things I used to do, I don't do them no more. The place I used to go, I don't go there no more. I got to end. Let me, in conclusion, that was for me, so I can shut up, because I can go on and on. You know what this message is all about? I want you to remember this thing. Anointing is transferable. What did I say? Number two, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Say, I got it. Number three, say, it is no secret what God can do. What is done for someone, he'll do it for you. See, I've not even got to half of my message, but let me wrap it up and tell you what's going on. See, right here in this church, you can't come to a church like this just to have a good time. Right here in this church, an old lady got up. Her name is Mother McGinnis. She got up right here in this church and testified how, with an eighth grade education, she was able to raise four girls and all of them got college degrees. Are you listening to me? See, anointing is transferable. I got off my high horse. I didn't say, oh, I'm the bishop of the house. I tap into that anointing because I know what I just told you. What God has done for somebody, he can do it for me. Right in this house, there was an old lady, gone to be with the Lord now, Luella Williams. She told me, I'm a functional illiterate. And I was growing up in the days of Jim Crow. Things were hard for black folks. Things were hard for black women. And in the middle of trouble, she was able to raise two children with no education, with no money, with no future. She was able to raise children that turned out to be a success story. You know what? I was sitting here. You see, that's why I said, you better get up your stupid religion and grab hold of anointing and testimony that God is working out in this house and turn yourself into the blessing. I heard a story. I said, Lord, if you can do it for Luella, if you can do it for Mother McGinnis, you can do it for me. There was another old lady. Her name is Claxton. She'll probably be here 9:30 today. She said, Pastor, I don't have much education. I don't have much money. I raised five children. Every one of them graduated in college. Every one of them. And here you are, you're telling me what the government didn't do, what they're going to send you some free meal. You better get off that stupid high horse of yours. There is anointing in this house. You better tap into that anointing. Jesus of Nazareth is passing.